Welcome to A Sensible Future, the podcast of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today for A Sensible Future, we're speaking with Tyler Williams, the outreach coordinator. Let me redo this intro. That sucked.
Sure.
See? I have to do it. All right. Hold on. Welcome, everyone, to A Sensible Future, the podcast for Students for Sensible Drug Policy. I'm Russ Belville. Joining us today on the program, we have Tyler Williams. He's the outreach coordinator for SSDP. And Tyler, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Russ.
SSDP, such a great organization, building brand new activists out of college students all across the United States and around the world. As outreach coordinator, you've got your thumb on the pulse of what's happening with SSDP. Give us a picture for people that are unfamiliar with the organization of just how much SSDP is spread through America and the rest of the world.
Yeah, I'd love to. So right now, we're on about 300 campuses across 24 countries. And, you know, the bulk of those campuses are in the United States. We're in 44 states, but we are definitely, you know, a global organization. And we're in pretty much, I think we're on every single continent in the world except for Antarctica. And, you know, you can't really fault us for that one.
Yeah, no colleges in Antarctica yet.
I don't think for a while. I think we have to wait until the global warming really kicks in the high gear before that's reality. But anyways, yeah, we are global and worldwide. And, you know, the work and the scope of what our students are doing is, like, also just as varied, right? Because we're in so many different geographic places that have so many different, you know, policy needs and activism needs and education needs, right? Because, like, when you've got students in, you know, West Africa, some in East Africa, and then, you know, there's Europe and Australia and people in South America. And then, of course, you know, our folks, we have some chapters in China as well. So, like, the policies all look different. And even in the States, the things that my chapters do in Colorado are certainly significantly different than the things my chapters are doing in, say, Iowa. So it's really interesting to work with students from all over the place because one of the really great things about our model and the thing that keeps me invested and working with SSDP is one of the reasons that I came to it and stayed with it is we really give a lot of autonomy to our chapters. We are by no means like a top-down organization. I tell all my chapter leaders, like, they're my boss and not the other way around. Like, I'm not their boss or anything, right? Like, I'm just here to help. And so because of that, our students work on the things that they care about and that are close to their communities. And so, you know, I've got students working on literally every facet of drug policy reform that I could possibly name. It's really, you know, it's really a singular experience. I don't work with any of the international chapters. I am familiar with some of their work, but I think it's really worthwhile to mention that my coworker who does my job, but for the international chapters, Jake Agliata, really took our international program, which was, there was a time maybe 2-3 years ago where we were considering just dropping international chapters altogether because it just wasn't working for us. Jake came on staff, took it on as a personal project, and now our growth outside of the U.S. is like far surpassed, the rate of growth is far surpassing our rate of growth inside the United States, and it's amazing. The work that he's done building up those relationships and making us into a global organization is really phenomenal. So, you know, I can always talk a little bit about what we're doing there, but my the regions that I'm responsible for are the Midwest, Mountain, and Heartland regions, which is, I would tell people, it's the upper half of the country without any coastline.
Okay. Now, our listeners, of course, on the Marijuana Agenda will be familiar with the aspects of drug law reform in the world of cannabis as far as medical, decrim, mm-hmm. and so forth. What are some of the other aspects of drug law reform, particularly those that would be of importance to your demographic, the student, the young adult out there?
Yeah. So one of our biggest campaigns, I think kind of like our bread and butter, is our Good Samaritan medical amnesty policies. People might be familiar with them, and I hope they are, because most states have some form of it. Whether or not it's good is a different story. But basically the idea is If there is a drug-related emergency, an overdose or some other medical complication because someone is using illicit drugs, or you know, maybe someone under 21 is consuming alcohol and there's an emergency related to that, a Good Samaritan policy allows for the people around them or even the person themselves to call for help and not worry about legal repercussions of any charges of like possession or, you know, minors in possession of alcohol and things like that. So it really encourages people to call 911. What's, you know, the data that we have is that a high percentage of drug-related deaths happen because people were too afraid to call 911. And this happens, you know, very frequently across college campuses, especially at like parties where there's a lot of like underage alcohol drinking and people are worried about the rules and maybe don't really understand the severity of alcohol related, you know, drug emergencies or other drug emergencies. And this is something that really hits close to home for all of our students. And these policies haven't always existed everywhere. We're slowly seeing more and more of them, and really thanks, I think, a lot to the work of our SFDP chapters everywhere. We're seeing more and more Good Samaritan policies on local levels, at campuses, and of course, even statewide. We have students work on statewide policy change for that, too. It's generally a really successful campaign. Most administrators are pretty much on board. You know, I always tell students, especially people who start new chapters, they're looking for something to do. I think working on a Good Samaritan policy is, you know, a really awesome place to start. Most places, if they have a Good Samaritan policy, it's limited, so it will only cover alcohol, or it will only cover the person who is in, like, going under the emergency, not the people around them. So, you know, even if you're in a place that has something there, there's almost always a way it can be improved. And, you know, in an ideal scenario, if someone calls for help, no one involved gets in trouble no matter what. You know, we want to remove all the barriers to calling 911 for people who are having medical emergencies. And that's, you know, point blank, like, that's how it works. And, you know, school administrators tend to be pretty receptive to it because it's one of those campaigns that is certainly, you know, a cornerstone of drug policy reform, especially when it comes to young people. But you almost never even need to talk about drugs. You don't need to talk about what kind of drugs. You don't need to talk about how many people are using drugs. You just need to talk about saving lives. And that usually resonates pretty well with campus administrators, and especially when we show them the data about 911 calls and what motivates people to call or what keeps them from calling.
It's a policy that everybody should be pursuing, a 911 Good Samaritan policies. You can learn more about that at ssdp.org. Now let's shift gears and talk marijuana specifically, because we have now 8 states that have passed adult use marijuana laws and so many more that have medical cannabis laws. And yet at colleges and universities across the nation, they still maintain prohibitionary policies surrounding the use of cannabis by their adult students. So students 21 and older. What's SSDP's position and projects working toward that angle?
Yeah, so this is another thing that, again, affects us really directly, and our position is generally that we want campuses to relax the regulations around it, and you know, in general, like, we would hope that college campuses would find a reasonable middle ground somewhere that respects, you know, the adults' rights to, like, engage in an activity that they could if they were off campus, you know, on campus or maybe, like, near campus, or just basically removing penalties for people who, you know, even just have it in their possession, whatever it is. Like, what's happening right now isn't working, and it doesn't make sense. Like, it really kind of, you know, it feels like it's in conflict with the will of the public, the will of the voters. You know, many of these college students are the vote. It really is because it's young people who have done a lot of the work to legalize cannabis. And, you know, it's really interesting, too. So many, like, young volunteers, college-age volunteers who, you know, so we generated 40,000 phone calls to states with ballot initiatives through our phone bank effort. And we did, you know, hundreds of hours of on-the-ground canvassing and events and tabling. And that was done primarily by students who were also under 21, right? Like, students who are 21 and older make up a small fraction of the students we actually work with. So we've got all these young people from, you know, 17 to 20 who've done all this work around cannabis reform and, like, don't get to enjoy the fruits of their labor for at least another year, if not, like, 4 years. So anyways, it's really a big deal. A lot of our students care a lot about making sure that there's access to marijuana. You know, that there is reduced penalties for marijuana possession on campus. And in the case of medical marijuana, this is also another thing that's really concerning is that, you know, in states, and so many states have it, that have medical marijuana laws, you know, a lot of students are barred from having and using their medicine on campus. So that means either they have to get off campus, they have to do it in secret and like get and be afraid of being kicked off campus. And we actually had a really awesome win in Arizona where one of our students had been caught with, is a medical marijuana patient in Arizona, had been caught with marijuana and spent like 3 years fighting a court case. And finally the court said that the schools cannot in Arizona prohibit like medical marijuana patients from having marijuana on campus. And that was awesome. But that's like the first time that we've got a decision like that. And it's, you know, that's not the case in so many other states where patients are really suffering and they need to have their medicine on them. So we have a lot of students who are interested in working on that. It's one of those things where a lot of our chapters will collaborate together. And we've got some working groups where students from California, Oregon, Connecticut, like Missouri, Arizona, of course, Colorado, like all these different states are talking together online and trying to figure out ways to move their campuses forward and, you know, make the policies more equitable and just make them reflect the laws that the voters passed.
Tyler Williams is the outreach coordinator for Students for Sensible Drug Policy at ssdp.org. And Tyler, if we have a listener out there from a college campus who's interested in starting a chapter, what are some of the requirements and contact they need?
Yeah, so again, you can go to our website, ssdp.org. There's actually just a link that says start a chapter. It's really easy. We've got a quick form. We need your name, your email address, your phone number. You know, we'll ask you for a mailing address because we send you a bunch of free materials. The requirements really are just that you care about drug policy reform, you're a current student, and you're willing to work with us. We'll meet you where you're at. If you're a person who is working two part-time jobs to get yourself through school, you got 17 credits on your course load this year, but you still care, we'll find a way to make it work for you. You know, obviously, like, the more time you have, the better, and I'm always going to encourage you to do more SSDP stuff. We'd like to joke on staff that most of us ended up majoring in SSDP. so, you know, we hope that this is something you do in a big way. But don't be intimidated by that. And, you know, if you've got a couple hours a month, I can work with that. You know, I can help you find other people who, you know, maybe some freshmen with lighter course loads, people who have, you know, more open schedules who are willing to move the ball forward. But we just, if I'm not talking to someone on a campus, there's nothing I can do. We don't do active outreach. We actually have so many people, you know, asking to start chapters that it keeps us so busy that I don't do proactive outreach. I just, every week I get maybe three or four different chapter applications and, you know, my coworkers get the same. So we just work with those. But if I'm not talking to someone on campus, there's really nothing I can do. But the moment I get a contact phone number, like all of a sudden that campus is ripe to start an awesome SSDP chapter.
All right. You heard it, folks. Get in touch with ssdp.org. You've got to reach out to them and they will make life easier for you as an SSDP chapter. Tyler, thanks for joining us here on A Sensible Future and good luck with all your projects.
Yeah. Thanks, Russ.